Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. The basis for our meditation this morning is the gospel reading from Mark on the rich young man. You may be seated. Let's take a look at this from the disciples' perspective, or anyone who's traveling with Jesus, I suppose. He's heading out of town, he's going to continue his journey, and as he's walking out, and as he's on his way out, a man runs up, kneels to him, and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And further, when Jesus lists off the commandments, he says, "All these I have kept from my youth." What do you think of this man? Maybe you think he's arrogant? He thinks he's kept all those commandments? Did he hear from the Sermon on the Mount how Jesus said that if you even so much as give an insult to your brother, that you are guilty of murder? Did he hear that if you even look at a woman lustfully, you have committed adultery? Maybe you think he's just ignorant and doesn't know his own sin. Or surely you can't say that you know that you honored your father and your mother for your whole life. Do you really remember your early years that well? How do you know? Maybe you think he's well-intentioned. Well, you know, at least he's trying. It's not a very good try, but at least he's trying. His heart's going to Jesus. That's good. Maybe you've seen people similar to this man. Maybe you've seen similarities in yourself. But we certainly are apt to not have a good opinion of him. Closer to arrogance or ignorance than to see the best in him. But Jesus, after all this, looked at him and loved him. It's a detail only found in Mark's account of this event, that he looked at him and loved him. And you could see this in Jesus' responses. Now, he's still the Jesus that we see depicted throughout Mark's gospel. He's still harsh, and he still is seeking to teach at every turn. When Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God." It's an admission that this man, clearly by calling him good, sees him as God, as he is. And when he says, "Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor," well, here he's teaching something too. He's directing him to the real problem in the man's life. It's not whether he honors his father and his mother. It's not whether he commits adultery. It's not whether he steals or bears false witness or defraud. It's his money. See, money tends to give it gives power, and it gives freedom. I mean, there's the concept in economics of opportunity cost, that you could do a various things with money. You could do whatever you want, as long as someone else will take it for that thing. You could buy a TV, you could buy a car, you could pay a fine for parking in the no parking zone. I mean, if it gets you a better spot. All these things you could do with money. And so those who have money, especially a lot of it, are quick to rely on it. It can solve problems. This is absolutely true. If you have no food in the fridge, money is a blessing. But what is money meant? What is it supposed to be used for? God certainly didn't give us this to just do whatever we want with it, right? That's not how he treats the rest of our lives. So this man, with his money, is confident in it. He's confident not just in his own works, but in his bank account. That if something were to go wrong, he would be fed. If war came to the nation, to town, he could move out. It gives him safety. And so this is his problem. Money is its own gift from God. And for the man, for us, for all of us, it is a resource given to us that could be taken at any time. All you have to do is look at the book of Job to see that he went from the wealthiest man in the region to a poor, sick beggar in an afternoon. What we have stays what we have by the grace of God. And so money is, yes, one of the ways that God provides for us. Through the fruit of your labor, you receive goods. You receive food. You receive shelter. But just like any other part of the Christian life, you are given Christian freedom in this regard. And Christian freedom is the freedom not to squander something. Because inherently, we are sinful. Inherently, we have a tendency towards sin. We have a tendency to be enslaved to sin, to do Satan's desires. But the freedom that we have been given through Christ's death on the cross, by his works given to us, is that we may be like him, that we may do as he does. And so, with our money, we may give to the church, we may give to the poor, we may help our neighbor in need. We can support our family member in times of trouble. Abundance is given, power is given, authority is given to take care of each other, not to use it on yourself. So all is taken care of for you. You are given enough. And that's what Jesus is saying to this man. Sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. For this man needs a savior. The same as all of us. We've all misused what has been given to us in one way or another. But Christ's work is our treasure in heaven. We have possessions. We have the riches of God. And they are given to us on the daily. They are given to us here in church. Here from the lectern, God's word is read here at the altar in baptism. These are all true. And he gives us his gifts in physical things as well. He gives us in our home. He gives us our daily bread as we pray constantly in the Lord's Prayer. What we need for the day, that is to be our concern. Not to store up our own wealth for the sake of for our own security. Yes, invest in your future. Have a retirement plan. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that even that is its own gift from God. Recognize that. In Luther's explanation of give us this day our daily bread, it is that we are praying in this petition to recognize that everything that we have comes from God. All of it. There is not one thing that if God did not sustain it in creation would exist for us to have. There would be no land, there would be no fruit of the field, there would be no parents, there would be nothing. And so for us to recognize that is to make money not our idol, but to see God as the source of every good thing as we are meant to. And for the sake of that, God sent Christ as the seal to say that I am doing all things well for you. I am concerned not just with your physical salvation, but your spiritual. You will have treasure here on earth and treasure in heaven. You will have treasure for eternity. So use your treasure here well. Because I have taken care of you completely. So we might ask, what happened to this man? We say that disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Certainly, he did not think in the moment that this was possible. But as many pastors have surmised, by that line, Jesus looked at him and loved him. How could Mark have known what kind of look that Jesus gave him? Perhaps he talked with the man himself, but if he just walked away and did nothing and continued in his wealth, it's not likely Mark would have been able to track him down. Instead, a decent guess is that this man is Mark himself. And so perhaps after some thought, some contemplation, he knew that this was God. He knew that what he was being told was true. And so he went and sold everything, gave it to the poor, and followed Jesus, and wrote this down for us. Perhaps. So finally, may that be, in a sense, what we do. Not that we should literally sell everything. Take what God has given you. Not every command that Jesus makes applies to every single person. This is one given just to the man. To us, he gives the command to take what has been given us and use it profitably. Use it for the sake of justice. As Amos says, hate evil and love good and establish justice in the gate. Take care of what is good. Take care of your neighbor. Take care of your church. All of these things are good and necessary. And what you should do with your money. Be sure you are provided for, as God has given you your money for this purpose. Use it well. Be a good steward. And take refuge in the gifts Christ won for us on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. May the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds unto eternal life through Christ Jesus. Amen.